Once again, welcome back to hour number two of the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. It's Wednesday, December 1, 25 days to Christmas. Huh. What a great idea, Christmas gift idea, is growing food. Yeah, food is a good thing, especially at the dinner table at Christmas time. You know, we had such a struggle. The media played such a struggle. Oh, America's going to have to pay way more for that turkey than they did last year, you know, because of supply chain issues. You know, it's one of these. Remember way back in World War II, people planted victory gardens? Remember that? I am not that old, all right? So stop dating me. I'm not that old, all right? But understand, I did my historical research, and victory gardens were very, not only sustainable, it helped this country survive World War II. And so I think that people, I remember a long time ago, my grandma used to get together with all of her friends, and they would do canning, which is something I never had a knack for. You know, I spent more time, you know, just watching, didn't really get a lot of hands on because back then they don't trust, you know, 6 and 7 year olds with boiling hot water and jars. So, the thing is though, is that there are people out there that have actually done and studied all of this stuff. And I think the Victory Gardens need to come back. And there is an educational webinar coming up this Saturday, I believe. And it's sponsored by thegrownetwork.com. And the instructor, Marjorie Wildcraft, is with us here on the Power Hour. Welcome, Marjorie.
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me on the show. And, you know, one really inspiring thing about the Victory Garden movement was that 20 million novice American gardeners within the first year were producing 40% of the produce that America consumed. So we can do this, and we can do it really, really, really fast. So, and you're absolutely right.
I knew you would have that statistic. I was waiting for somebody with more knowledge than me to enlighten me. All right, so this is good. Now, this seminar is called How to Grow Lots of Food in a Grid Down Situation. Even if you have no experience or older and out of shape, yes, you can grow food. Even if there's an EMP attack by some rogue state and all the power's gone, you still have a way to eat. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been looking at this problem for almost 20 years now, about 18 years, figuring out what is the fastest, easiest way to take somebody who knows absolutely nothing and probably does not have full, you know, capability. How do you get them producing a lot of significant calories and nutrition in a very short period of time? And that really, really has been my passion for all these years. And we've got it pretty dialed in with small step-by-step stuff. The webinar this Saturday, which is a free webinar at growyourowngroceries.com, I distilled that, you know, 18 years of research, experimentation, trial and testing into a very simple webinar. If you take that, you will not only come away with a plan for how to grow your own food, but even regardless of the season and where you are located on the globe. We've been, believe me, the Grow Network is an international community. We have people starting from Toronto to South America to Cuba, everywhere, all over the globe. So, yeah, and that's what we're all about, is how to grow food.
Okay, so if somebody goes to growyourowngroceries.com, they can sign up for this educational webinar this Saturday. What time is the webinar?
Yep. I believe it's either 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. Central. So it'll be on the webpage. But okay. It's definitely something you're going to want to mark on your calendar and you're not going to want to miss. You know, even the United Nations, which is not like prone to clickbait or sensational headlines, they're saying that we are facing a famine of biblical proportions. And we have three forces on the planet that are converging to create that. And one is that global food production is down across the board with almost every country on earth that produces food. The second is the infamous supply chain problem. And then the third is that all these governments are printing money like there's no tomorrow. And we are going to see, we've already seen inflation. We're going to see hyperinflation in 2022, and you won't be able to afford to eat if there was anything to buy.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I've heard this, and I know that a lot of people in this network that are listening to us here on the Power Hour have actually taken advantage of some of the long-term food storage product out there. And this will only get you so far. I mean, if some of you, the smart people are saying you stock up for a year, that'll at least get you started, but you need to be able to sustain.
You do need to be able to sustain. And, you know, just like Event 201 in 2019 that was sponsored by Bill Gates totally predicted the whole COVID pandemic. Well, in 2015, there was a scenario sponsored by Cargill, which is the world's largest private company that is involved in every aspect of food production and distribution on this planet. Well, they sponsored a similar scenario called the Food Chain Reaction. And interestingly enough, something happened in 2020, like, oh, maybe a pandemic. And then there was this whole series of weather calamities that caused the price of food to go up by about 40% in the next year. And then every year thereafter, food went up by 100% for the entire decade. I would say that we are right on track with that playbook. I mean, food has gone up by at least 40%, and based on everything that we're seeing, it's set to go up, and you know, it's set to double within the next 6 months. So we are definitely on track for that scenario. The way the supply chain is breaking, that's not going to get repaired anytime soon. Global crop production is, whether it's being destroyed intentionally by weather modification or whether it really truly is just accidents or climate change, I don't know, but it's happening and it's not likely to change. So we're having crop destruction around the world. And then, of course, you know, governments, are you going to get them to stop printing money? Like, the only thing that Democrats and Republicans agree on is how to spend more money, right? So, you know, like any one of those three forces could cause you to have a problem eating. All three of them together pretty much guarantees it.
Well, and Marjorie, we have another problem, and that's America's diet, because we have been so conditioned to, and especially in late night television. How many food commercials do you see during prime time and late night television encouraging you to order junk food? And we have a definite problem in America with the consumption of such. And even the supply chain has affected that. And I believe that the whole thing, like Bill Gates's fake meat idea, this entire thing is nothing but a design to wipe out as much of the population as possible through starvation and other means. And see, I think that these elitists that are driving this supply chain issue, especially with these vaccine mandates, and this is just my opinion, folks. It's just my opinion. Marjorie may agree or disagree with me, and I'm going to let her do that. The thing is when you affect the supply chain by demanding everybody get vaccinated, and we reported this yesterday, the trucking companies don't want to enforce this mandate because they need drivers. They got to have people getting food to market, because if they don't, then that means there is a supply chain breakdown, and that means the price, the demand goes up, the price goes up, everybody's scrambling to get it, and that's when the store shelves clean out. It doesn't take an emergency to do this. What's your take, Marjorie?
No, you're absolutely right. And I really agree with you. I do believe that this is something that is orchestrated and engineered. I think they've reached the limits of what they can do in terms of vaccinating people, and the next thing that they have lined up now is a famine. So, we're living in this crazy time, which is like whitewater rafting, it's going to take some real challenges to get through these next few years. One of the real great saving graces is you do not need a military-industrial governmental complex to feed yourself or for your own medicines. You can grow your own food in your backyard, in a garden plot. You can even wildcraft it. There's lots and lots of ways to feed yourself that does not involve the system, and you can become free of the system. I mean, that's one of the saving graces. And I'll say, when I first realized that something of this magnitude could happen, I didn't know specifically what the details would be, but quite honestly, it's not rocket science. You know, it takes 1,200 calories of energy to get 100 calories on your plate. Food travels an average of 1,400 miles to get to you. I mean, like, I could see that at some point in time there was going to be some incredible breakdown in the food supply, and that's what really caused me to go on this mission. Actually, my background, I was a student of Robert Kiyosaki, and I have a very, very successful real estate investment business. I actually was featured on his infomercials for Time Life Actually, I've made way more money in my own personal investments than I ever have with the Grow Network, I promise you. But I realized that that is the most important thing that I could use my life energy for and work on, was that we were going to be in a situation like this. And when I first realized that, I was panicked, I was freaked out, I couldn't sleep, I was, you know, cold sweats, I lost relationships, because, you know, when you start to really become afraid, it freaks you out. I will tell you that by growing your own food, it will heal you, not only physically because of the deep nutrition you're eating, but emotionally and mentally, because, you know, when you're providing for yourself and you're free of those systems, you have an empowerment and a strength and a confidence that you can't even imagine right now. And then spiritually, like really with your hands in the earth, or you're working with small livestock, you're working directly with the forces of creation. And there is a connection to spirituality and your creator that I think a lot of us have been hungering for and longing for. So I know that things are really bad and that people are really, really freaked out. I've been there. I want to tell you that this is a key. This is a thing that will have you heal and empower you and carry you through the next decade. And now I can't imagine my life without growing my own food. I love it, and it's amazing. So I know there's a lot of resistance because, you know, it's not a skill most people have. I want to tell you, the light at the end of the tunnel is a fabulous place.
Right. You're talking about the green thumb here. And the number is 844-769-2944. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to call us up right now here on the Power Hour, 844-769-2944. I don't care where you are in the United States, if you are seeing supply chain issues, breakdowns, foodflation, I mean serious foodflation and supply chain breakdowns, empty store shelves, call us up. I don't care what part of the country you're in, and just tell us who you are, where you're from, what state you're in, and describe the experience. That's all I want to hear. I don't have time for a lot of comments unless you have a distinct question about gardening and about growing your own food. But see, the thing is that Marjorie has written a book called The Grow System, An Essential Guide for Modern Self-Sufficiency from Growing Food to Making Medicine. Now, you want to talk about being a proactive American and being a patriotic American? You know, the nutcase at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with a mental acuity of a two-year-old will tell you that, you know, you have to take the vaccine. Well, a lot of us have already figured all this out. We don't need a vaccine to keep us healthy. What we need is to change our diets. And, you know, I have been trying to do that, too. It's very difficult when you've been on the junk food binge for so long. And it's like, oh, I want a pizza. You know, well, you know, if you had to grow your own oats and grind your own wheat and everything. I actually have a wheat grinder, but I haven't grown any wheat yet, Marjorie.
Yeah. You know, grains are actually a little more difficult, except with possible exception of corn. You know, the most efficient food that you can grow is actually going to be eggs from a small flock of laying hens in your backyard.
There you go.
Yeah, just six hens will produce about 1,500 eggs a year. So think of that as three egg omelets every day for the entire year, plus 33 dozen eggs to give away or barter or trade. And growing your own food in hyperinflation is like printing your own money. There's a story from Weimar, Germany, where, you know, things got so bad. And interestingly enough, in Germany during that time period was one of their most productive agricultural years. But the farmers couldn't sell it to the city people because the city people had no money, and no money that the farmers wanted to take. When the value of the mark is, you know, when it costs $10 for 10 marks for a beer one day and 100 marks for a beer the next day and then 1,000 marks for the next day, nobody wants marks, right? And there's quite a few amazing stories from that period. This one farmer traded a family for a grand piano for a 50-pound bag of potatoes.
Ouch.
You know, like food is money. We call growing your own food is like printing your own money. And it is something that you can do. I know it's not something we're used to, but it is something you can do. And it's amazing. And when you get into it, it's incredible, actually. You'll go, oh, my God. You'll look back on that period of time and go, that was the most amazing thing that the universe forced me into.
I understand that. Well, see, Marjorie, the thing is that there's some little, you know, Jiminy Cricket in the back of my head breathing into my subconscious that is telling me that we've only got maybe 3 to 4, 5 months at most to actually put this whole scenario into play before things start to get crazy.
I completely agree with you. I mean, if you overlay charts of the M1's money supply with, for example, like Weimar Germany and the money supply, I've been telling people by next spring it's going to be ridiculous. Like, we're going to be into such a crazy time of flux, you're not going to know what anything is worth, or it's going to be crazy. So, yeah. And right now is absolutely, I think we recommend the first thing people do is stock up and get food, get beans and rice, do the basics, do the cheap stuff, do whatever you got to do, get enough food to feed yourself for as long as you can, and start growing your own food, because this is going to be an emergency that lasts years.
Now, you say, Marjorie, that, I mean, National Geographic featured you as an expert in off-grid living. And are you living off-grid completely right now?
No, not completely. You know, there's a real balance of how much are you going to use. You know, the existing systems are incredible, right? Like, a gallon of gasoline cuts you so much firewood in such a short period of time. Why not do that rather than use an axe, right? You know,
sure.
You know, you can absolutely compost your own feces, but it takes a lot of time and energy. Why not use a septic tank? What, you know, let's use as much of the existing systems as we can while they exist. So, but I do grow at least half of my own food all the time. And it's not necessarily because, I am worried about the collapse, but it's also because I'm deeply concerned about the quality of food that I eat. And the commercial food supply, you know, we used to say, oh, be a perimeter shopper and you'll be all right. There's nothing in the perimeter. None of that food is any good. You got to grow your own or wildcraft your own or have your own food supply if you really want vibrant, you know, nutrition that's going to heal your body and have you be strong.
For sure. Now, the idea, and we're not trying to fearmonger here, folks. We're trying to be real, because if you've gone to the grocery store, as we have, I personally go shopping with my wife, and we sit down and we look at prices when we're cruising the aisles, and we look at the condition of the groceries, and it takes me back to a time when I used to grow, and I'll tell you something else. You put some straw in a chicken coop, because I had 32 hens, and they were all laying at different periods of time, and I mixed straw in there, you know, in the pen and in the hut that they were in. And you take this stuff and you turn it into the soil with a pitchfork, and that is the best manure that you can get your hands on. And I grew so many cucumbers, we couldn't even begin to can or pickle half of what we had. And so I sold them at the grocery store, and he bought them 3 for $1. And it was amazing, you know, because he was selling them like 3 for $1.59. And these cucumbers were giant. And just because of the soil conditions where we were in Kansas at the time. But the thing is when you look at the stock that he was selling on the shelf, these were all scrawny looking cucumbers. And it's like, in order to get into this, I had to actually get into the grocery business and for a little bit and figure out, well, why are these groceries so sick looking? It's because of the fact they sit in warehouses sometimes for weeks before they get to the store shelves. And this is another reason why, Marjorie, everything you're saying makes total sense about growing your own food, because it's totally fresh.
Exactly. That's also why I knew it's a little controversial. And Joyce Riley, one of the previous incarnations of this show, was a vegetarian. She used to always have such a hard time. I'm like, Joyce, animals are essential in the system. One, animal products produce way more calories than a garden does. You're going to want a diversity of sources, because you never know what's going to happen, right? But animal, and getting the fertility from those chickens or from the rabbits or whatever livestock you have, is the fastest and easiest way to have huge yields in your garden. So you're absolutely right about that system, and that's one of the things that I feel is such an important part of it is those. You know, the chickens, for the chicken manure, is almost more valuable than the eggs, and to some extent, just because of the produce.
Well, and we used to sell part of the eggs, too, when we had that many uh-huh. hens, because we used that to actually buy the feed to uh-huh. give the chickens and the medicine and everything yeah. else. That actually selling the eggs actually paid to keep the entire process going. So, I mean, that's not rocket science either, is it?
No, it's not. You know, in fact, a lot of people have small rabbit trees or even small commercial rabbit trees. They make, you know, they make money by selling the meat and by selling the fur and by selling the babies for stock. But the, where, you know, where the most lucrative part of a small rabbit tree is they compost the pellets, the manure from the rabbits with worms, and they make more money off the worm compost and the worms than they do off of any of the rabbit products. So, you know, what's so wonderful about these. What's so wonderful about these systems, and I really want to communicate to everybody, is when you open up to this, we're kind of fearful because it's something we've never done before and we don't know about. And yes, absolutely, you're going to lose some rabbits, you're going to lose some chickens, or you're going to kill some worms, or you're going to kill some plants. You absolutely will. But there is such an incredible abundance when you start working with nature and start working with natural systems and how you can layer systems upon systems, just like you were talking about with the chickens and the fertility and putting it in and growing the cucumbers. There's so many, when you start working with nature like that, it creates an incredible amount of abundance, and anybody can tap into that.
Right. Now, so this is the thing. A lot of people are running around, and I noticed in my show notes here, that there are some items of discussion that are probably affecting people because a lot of them want to, oh, we need acreage. We got to go out and get acreage because we have to grow cattle. I've seen books that actually said what things you can do with 5 acres and a, you know, and I'm like, no, but most of the people, if you look, inflation has affected land prices as well, especially in the blue states where everybody's moving to. And so, you know, you're out there paying $250,000 for 3 acres of land. And it's like, okay, what are you going to do with all that? You know, and I'm thinking here, if you can get even less than an acre of land, and get yourself fully settled on, you really, do fine.
You really don't even need that. An acre is a huge amount of land, actually. So, you know, as I said, I've been looking at this for years, and I've developed a system that I've actually taught to hundreds of thousands of people, and I know several 10,000 have actually implemented this and grown it for years, as I have, where you can grow half of your own food in about the size of 3 parking spaces. And it's a very simple system.
Really?
It's actually, no, I'm not kidding you. Because I have spent years looking at what produces the most calories in the smallest amount of space, and having it being done, you know, humanely. And that's actually what we teach in the webinar that's coming up next Saturday at the growyourowngroceries.com. And how to do that simply, step by step, with somebody who doesn't know anything.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right, we are coming up to the break. GrowYourOwnGroceries.com. Go there now and register for the free webinar. It's this Saturday. All right, this Saturday, 2 p.m. Central Time. All right, that's what's on the website now. Go there and sign up. We're going to be back with Marjorie. Take your phone calls after the break. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiabiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 228-28. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb and Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Calf, Sinew Araga, Oreganol Juice, Pure Leafy, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Oregarest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
This craft that the Strokes family had of recognizing the medicinal value of herbs by taste and then putting formulas together, knowing the herbal ingredients they needed, but putting them together in perfect proportion by taste, just like a chef would, the Strokes Heart Drops, the world-famous Strokes Heart Drops that saved my life, Jim Strokes's and many others, my dad, my list goes on and on. But those Heart Drops, they were developed, created 40 years ago for Jim himself after a heart attack. Now, this formula fixed my high blood pressure over 20 years ago, and I have had great blood pressure since.
Call Jay at 877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
It's 12:32 Central Time, actually 12:33 now. We just had an extra long break there. Wednesday, December 1st, 2021, Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Our lines are open, 844-769-2944. You have a chance to get an education and ask questions about gardening. If your thumb, my thumb is not fully green yet, but I have a feeling after I attend this webinar this weekend on growyourowngroceries.com, I'm going to learn a whole lot more than I knew before. We are all in a situation where we can learn. I don't know everything, which is why I do research. And here you have somebody on the phone with us, Marjorie Wildcraft, that's already done all that research, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And so we want to have her back in the program. And 844-769-2944. No, this is not the gardening guidance show. This is basically something that you're going to have to face, and it's called survival. And so there's been so many warnings. This is a trend. Food shortages are going to happen. That is inevitable. Marjorie, would you agree with that?
It's already. I mean, I just got done with a 2-month tour where I was teaching and lecturing and networking, and I was everywhere. You know, I was in Orlando, I was in Miami, I was in Salt Lake City, I was in Denver, I was all over the place, and everywhere I went, whether it was, you know, going in to pick up some dental floss because I'd run out at, you know, some Walgreens, or whether I was at some, you know, farmer's market, or where I was at some grocery store to get, you know, just when you're traveling. Everywhere I went, I saw at least 10% of the shelves were empty. Everywhere. We're moving, and I go into the U-Haul place to return the truck, and normally there's this whole wall full of, you know, straps and locks and gadgets for packing and tape, and that whole wall was almost empty. And I'm like, is this normal? And she says, no, we haven't had any stuff in here for a year. You know, it's happening, and that supply chain, it's breaking. The biggest court in Canada just got completely shut down due to weather events because of the roads and the railways, which means that all the wheat that Canada normally exports is not going to be getting out to the world. You mentioned yourself about the truckers and the truckers union. Fortunately, they won that one where the truckers do not have to be vaccinated, because that would have completely shut down. You know, almost all the stuff we do in the U.S. is transported by truck. But they went ahead and put a mandate in for truckers that are going across the border, which is going to shut down a lot more of the transport across the border. So it really looks like this administration is doing everything they can to completely destroy the food supply and the supply chain. And this, you know, it's clear to me that this is going on. We didn't even get into the top 10 food producing countries in the world. Every single one of them has had either droughts or flooding or freak freezes or some weird stuff happening to where global food production is down everywhere. So it's not a matter of, oh, one country's got it and they're not selling it. We really are headed into a period of, and none of us have faced famine before, really. It's going to be a crazy time. And fortunately, you still have some time right now. Go buy some backup food supplies immediately. I'm not, like, don't think about tomorrow. Do it today. And then Saturday, we've got this course, because you aren't going to get through the decade unless you know how to grow your own food or some of your own food. And you can do it. And that's what I'm saying is, I've been through the fear and the panic and the deep upset. And when you get through that and you learn and you actually have some skills and you actually start producing on your own, and that stuff is so delicious, it's way better than anything you could ever buy anyway, and you start healing because you're actually getting real nutrition and you're getting vibrant food, you're like, holy cow, this is amazing. What an incredibly wonderful thing, right? In Cuba, they had a complete economic collapse when the Soviet Union pulled out. And the amazing thing that happened for them, rates of diabetes and cancer and asthma and all the civilization diseases almost disappeared when they started growing their own food and going back to traditional food supplies and were not dependent on imported and commercial foods, because they weren't getting them. So there really is a beautiful light at the end of the tunnel, but it's going to be tough. And the first thing to do right now is prepare for it.
Makes sense. Now, as far as the winter months, this is December, and obviously the weather starts getting colder in a lot of places in the country. I know I just talked to one of my cohorts in Florida this morning. He said the temperature was 47 degrees there. He says, I don't know why it got so cold here. I said, yeah, well, we were at about 50 here where I am. And so that's the first time I've heard Florida with those kind of temps. I mean, when I was living there, we did have temps down in the 30s. And so, it's kind of scary for Florida. And then you wonder about the orange crops and everything else that get affected by the freeze. But the thing is that we have basically, and I'm not referring to everybody here as preppers. I think that's kind of a left-wing derogatory term that they just like to make fun of people that like to prepare. But then I remember, my grandma, they used to stock. They had root cellars. They had all these things. And they did it because they knew that in there was going to be shortages of things. And the most important thing, and I've always said, the three things you need to worry about besides whether your car runs or not is food, water, and shelter. And if you have access to all three of those, you'll survive. But then I think about, the haves and the have-nots. And this is a whole other thing, because all those people that aren't listening to what you're saying and what I'm saying and don't do their research and don't do their education, and they're starving, they're going to go looking for food, and things could get really dicey. And I'm being nice about that term.
They absolutely will. I mean, I never forget. I was on the radio one time, and somebody says, well, if things get really bad, I'm going to come and I'm going to pull out my gun and I'm going to take my stuff away from you. And I said, well, that's really dumb to tell me that now. I know you're coming, right?
Yeah.
But yes, violence absolutely goes up. There's actually mathematical formulas that talk about the price of food and when people start to riot. And it's absolutely predictable. And there's a paper on an MIT website about the price of food and the cause of riots. And regardless if the riot is because of some black guy or some political thing or whatever, that may be the superficial thing. The underlying thing that you can predict when a riot is going to happen is when the price of food increases. And in fact, that was part of the whole simulation that they did in 2015 on the food chain reaction. Was, you know, there were global riots around the world everywhere because the price of food went up. So yeah, you absolutely need to be prepared for that. One of the things that I'm doing here, I currently live in Puerto Rico, and even though I'm in a fairly affluent community, I found out that 65% of the people here live below the poverty line. I found a 6-acre tract of land that's owned by the city, and I'm working to create a very large community garden with 400 plots in it. Community really is the answer and the antidote to that. There is a myth in the survival and preparedness space that you can go buy a place and live way out in the middle of nowhere and hunker down through this. And I always used to say to those guys, well, who are your children going to marry? You really can't do it alone. You have to do it with community. And there's a whole lot we can talk about maybe we should do a show together on how to start to build, a self-sufficient community right in your neighborhood. Like, how do you start connecting with neighbors and how do you start doing this? But community really is the answer to that. And yes, you're absolutely right. Violence is going to go up. There's no doubt about it.
There is a correlation there. Well, one of the things that I have proposed on this show, Marjorie, is a CLT. And not a lot of people are aware of it, but there's an actual booklet, and it's been funded by major banks like Wells Fargo in three different locations, San Francisco, Houston, and Atlanta. They funded three of these CLTs, and it's an acronym for Community Land Trust. It's a nonprofit organization. It acquires a plot of land. It has, basically incentives for people to come and build there. And they do a community garden, and they actually have instructors come in to teach people how to grow food. This is much like when I was driving through from Philadelphia into the Amish country and passed by some of these Mennonite farms, because they kind of coexist together in eastern Pennsylvania. And I saw all these community gardens and these giant grow houses that they had set up in the kind of like Quonset huts. It's the same kind of like the semicircular bent pipe with all the plastic all over the top of it. Made these greenhouses out of that. And I you could see the results of the labor. I mean, these are bumper crops. And we've had a question from a caller who wanted to know how to save seeds for the coming years, because some of these, you buy some of these grow seeds from some of these producers, and how long do they last, and how do you store them to keep them to last?
Yeah, a lot. Most of your vegetable seeds, and each ones are slightly different. I mean, there's stories of wheat that lasted for 2,000 years, right, that they dug up with the... But the key thing with storing seeds is three things. One, you want to keep them dark, you want to keep them cool, and you want to keep them dry. So the worst place to do it is going to be above your refrigerator, because that's usually going to be hot and full of light. So... you also really don't want to freeze them. To freeze a seed requires a certain level of dryness, and it requires a certain level of skill. But definitely putting them in the back of the refrigerator in a very tight, airtight container, that's a good thing. Or burying them in the ground where they're going to stay dry and cool and dark. Those are the key elements to saving seeds. And yes, I would absolutely recommend stocking up on seeds right now. I certainly saw that. I have had some new producers. I do a lot of big television shows in New York, and they were like, hey, do you know anywhere we can buy seeds? This was back in 2020. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll set you up. But seeds are an important part of it. Having the skill, just having seeds is not going to be good enough. You need to have the skills to be able to produce that food from those seeds. So food production, I'm going to keep going back to that, is much more valuable almost than the seeds themselves.
Right. Now, the thing is about seeds is there are so many people out there pontificating the types of seeds you buy, because they all advertise they're non-GMO, because some of these seeds, apparently, they distinguish between the two, that there are good seeds and there are bad seeds. And so do you recommend like these Patriot type of food distribution networks advertise these things intensely, that they are non-GMO, and they're basically going to give you the kind of bumper crop you want. They're not, basically dirty seeds. You're going to get guaranteed results. Now, We're starting, and I know we don't have a whole lot of time here left in the program, but I want to make mention, if you are interested in learning how to survive, this is going to be really important. This is education. This is what we're here for. GrowYourOwnGroceries.com is the website. You go sign up. It's a 2 p.m. Central Time workshop. It's an online webinar, and Marjorie's going to be teaching it. Do you get to ask questions?
Absolutely. You know, actually, that's the most favorite part. So definitely bring your questions. As soon as I get done with the presentation, which takes 45 minutes to an hour, people always stay for the, and I stay as long as people need for the Q&A. And that is the, actually, that's the most popular part of the presentation is the Q&A. So definitely come. We will get your questions answered. You know, as I said, during this webinar, we'll show you how to get started regardless of the season. You'll walk away with a plan on how to grow your own food and how to do it even if you're older or you're overweight, you know, out of shape. Certainly, I'm assuming that you have absolutely no experience. As I said, I've been looking at this problem for decades now of how do you take somebody who knows nothing and give them small incremental steps to get them started. So that's what the webinar is all about. And, and definitely come with your questions. That actually is the most popular part of it.
Cool. All right. Now, so this winter, because we're back to December again, you mentioned in the notes here, I'm looking at starting a chicken coop and buying chickens. Now, here's the thing. Most of the places I go to, and this is really funny because I asked my son, I said, you got chickens, don't you? He goes, yeah, we did get a bunch of chickens, and all of a sudden they turned out to be roosters. And I'm like, okay, you didn't buy sex. You didn't buy sexed chickens. They have a way to sex chickens, do they not?
They absolutely do, and I recommend people buy hens that are already of laying age. So a hen will start laying at about 6 months old, and it sounds so romantic, and I've had a wonderful time raising baby chicks, and it's a wonderful homeschooling project, but raising baby chicks up to the age of a laying hen is a very different set of skills and equipment and setup than actually just having laying hens that produce eggs. And the reason I recommend people start with laying hens, and you can do it in the winter, and they don't produce as much in the winter as they will, you know, during the fall and spring and summer, but they will produce something. And really, you can, you know, work on building the coop, building the run, getting set up with the waters and the feeders, go by the laying hens, get them settled in, and within, you know, just a few weeks, you can be having a little egg factory in your backyard and creating manure and fertility that's going to be going through your garden in the spring, and you can get your system started. So I really recommend people start. By the way, you don't need a rooster. It's a total myth.
Yeah, I found that out hard, right?
Yeah, in fact, in most places, you don't want a rooster because it's a dead giveaway that you've got chickens, and it's annoying. And the last thing you're going to want to do is annoy your neighbors. You know, there's nothing worse than a rooster that's getting up at 3 a.m. and crowing, and that dude needs to become enchiladas, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It does. All right. So the thing is now people are going to, the next question I would anticipate hearing from our callers is, where do you buy the already laying hens? Because if somebody's got laying hens, you really think they're going to want to sell them? I mean, here they're making money with them. Why would they want to sell them?
Yeah. No, actually, that's a whole small business. I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, they'll buy 100 little baby chicks and raise them up to laying size and then sell them. I mean, that's a whole small business once you get into this. Again, I said there's so much abundance that's possible with this. So, you know, open your mind and open your heart, and you'll start to see all kinds of incredible things. Craigslist is a wonderful place to go to buy laying hens. Local feed stores, farm stores, you know, tractor supply type stores have laying hens often in stock, as well as breeding rabbits and all other kinds of livestock. So you go to those places. I actually really love going to Craigslist because then I can meet the person, see what their pens are looking like, what they're feeding those chickens, you know, what their setup is like, and then I have somebody locally that I can talk to in case I run into some problems. So I really love Craigslist, to be honest with you.
Sure.
It's a great source for, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that. Now, the other thing, too, is, you know, a lot of these feed stores, and I've been online and looked at a lot of them, and they have Cadillac chicken feed. Which, you know, the price, you look at the price and it's like, okay, that's a lot of money to feed these birds. Seriously, what I'm looking at is, do you actually have to have, and this is the difference between free range cage. I think there's a lot of misnomers when you go to the grocery store and you're looking at cage free and range free. You obviously have done enough research on this, just judging from the answers that you're giving me, what the difference is between the two, because I hear what these differences are and I'm like, okay, explain them.
We like I said, I've really simplified this. I recommend people get six laying hens, and we have a coop and a run that is designed just for the six laying hens. They'll produce you 1,500 eggs, which is going to be plenty for one person and actually a good amount for a family of four. And in the beginning, I highly, highly recommend you just go buy chicken feed. Now, the organic stuff is definitely the priciest. The GMO stuff you're going to want to avoid because we just don't, you know, we just don't want that. The non-GMO, non-soy chicken feed is usually somewhere in the middle, and that's going to be a real good bet because a lot of farmers don't actually go for the organic certification just because certification is expensive and time-consuming. But often the farmers that grow non-soy, non-GMO are actually using organic practices. But in the beginning... Okay. Buy chicken feed because you got so much else to learn, right? You've built this pen, you've got these new hens, you're starting to develop a new routine of checking on them and collecting eggs. You don't want to put that on top of that, figuring out how to feed the chickens. Now, there are plenty of ways to feed chickens, and actually when you sign up for the free webinar, we give you a whole video as a bonus, as a part of that, on how to get 100% of your chicken feed for free, which is a whole bunch of different techniques to ways to find free chicken feed. So there are lots of ways to do that. Just don't start out with that because you've got a lot of other things to learn first. But know that that is entirely possible.
Sure. And so just remember this, folks. Six hens a laying, you know.
I love it. Yeah, I'm going to use that myself. Yeah.
Another caller wanted to know, and see, they're leaving questions, which is really cool. Our studio producer is fielding all this. They want to know what a person can do if they live in the city and they don't have a lot of land, but they have a deck.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. There's a lot that you can do within a deck. So lots of potted plants, of course, and then you can go vertical up the side of the wall. I've seen even in Colorado in the middle of winter, a friend of mine had a whole bunch of cucumbers growing, and she just put it on the inside by the sliding glass door, supplemented it with a little bit of artificial light. There's a lot you can do. Also, inside of an apartment, mushrooms. You can grow mushrooms in a closet, right? And you know, it's not going to be huge, but it's mushrooms are pretty substantial. You can also produce quail in an apartment, and they are going to produce eggs, and they're going to produce quail meat. And then, of course, you got lots and lots of potential for veggies out on that deck. So there's a lot you can do, and especially on the deck, you're going to want to try in as much vertical strategies as possible. So, you know, those cherry tomatoes that you can vine up 6 or 8 feet and get a huge harvest out of them. Squashes that you can vine up and get a big harvest out of them. So you can do a lot with a deck.
There you go. So we hope we answered your question there, caller. So as far as space to grow food, basically you answered that question with the size of 3 parking lot spaces. We're going to learn a lot more just going to the seminar because we don't have a whole lot of time left in the show. But growyourowngroceries.com, if you have not already gone and sign up, I'm going to check this out. So I'll be on the call. Trust me. I'll be there. This is one of the things that I love
the Q&A.
I definitely want to do, because of the fact that I see the need. And all you have to do, folks, is go to the grocery store and start shopping the price of eggs. And if you've been looking, they've been running anywhere from $3.29 to $6.59. And that's just for a dozen eggs. And, you know, depending on what part of the country you are, some of them are for a dozen, which is the $3.29 price. And some of the $6.59 prices I've seen were for 18. Now, they also sell eggs by the flat. Sometimes you can go to Sam's Club and get them cheaper. But the thing is, there is nothing like farm fresh eggs, because these processed caged eggs that you get from the store, which is something my daughter always used to tell us, because we say, where do eggs come from? And she said, from the store. This is how much people understand how the food cycle works. The food chain does not work that way, folks, because somebody has to grow these things. And if you've ever been to a commercial hatchery, so to speak, you know, where they actually have hens in cages, and they don't really get that much exercise, They get to run around their own pen. They go in, they lay an egg. The egg drops down. It rolls down a conveyor. I mean, these are commercial farms, and you see a lot of these things in Arkansas and Missouri and places like that because they're nearest to the plants that process all the birds, because some people are growing chickens for meat. Some are growing for eggs. You know, just a lot depends on what part of the country you're in. But the thing is there's nothing quite like eating farm fresh eggs, is there? Lots of protein. So anyway, as far as planning the spring garden, Marjorie, what do you think? As far as besides attending the class, what little quick tips that we can educate people on as far as what they can do right now to get started on this path? So I think she dropped out. You know, I don't know about the signal in Puerto Rico. That's what she was calling from. So at least she's doing community gardening down there, folks. She's going to have on this website, because I do have some show notes here I can share with you. She's going to talk about how many people can one person feed, how much space you need to grow food, the easiest, highest calorie food you can produce, complete plan for producing all the food you need. And so the webinar, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience or older or out of shape. These are, you know, from somebody who is very experienced. It's been around the block. All right. And if you have any other questions, unfortunately, we are just flat out of time here and, not much. We really appreciate Marjorie coming on the show. But, again, it's
well, come to the webinar with your questions. We'll be glad to answer them.
Ah, glad we got you back there. Is the signal in Puerto Rico pretty weird?
I don't know why that just dropped me, but yeah. Yeah, no, come to the webinar, bring your questions. That's the most popular part of the webinar. I definitely love the Q&A section at the end. I will get your questions answered. You will walk away with a plan on how to grow food, regardless of where you are, what time of year it is, and what your situation is. We will help you, and we will get you growing food.
Well, we appreciate that, Marjorie. Marjorie Wildcraft, we've had you on the show. We really appreciate it. We're going to have you back again. I want to see what the success of this GrowYourOwnGroceries.com webinar this Saturday is going to produce. Hopefully, if you are sincerely interested in surviving, you are going to take Marjorie up on this offer. It's free. Can't do any better than that for you, folks. Dave Krieger with the Power Hour. It's been wonderful. We are going to see you again tomorrow. But in the meantime, God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.